KXRN LP Laguna Niguel, Laguna Beach. Member supported KX 93.5.
Good morning, Laguna Beach. It's 61 degrees in Laguna Beach. We got a fantastic show this morning. Stay tuned. And it's a bright and cheery morning here on KX 93.5, Laguna Beach's only FM radio, Craig for Rainbow Radio. I have some great guests lined up for today. They're going to call in about 15 to 20 minutes. And they are two well-renowned people in the entertainment industry. Their names are David Milburn and Billy Clift. And if you want to Google them, you'll find out that there are pretty remarkable histories behind both of these people. I'm not sure if one or both are going to call in. Hopefully both will have the time to a chance to call in this morning. But nonetheless, we're going to go over a recent documentary that they produced that is The Long Road to Freedom. It's the Advocate publication. I don't know how many. I know that Advocate's been around for years and years and years. At the beginning voice of, I guess, the LGBT issues in the United States, and it's still with us. It's celebrating 50 years. So there's lots to talk about. But first, I want to thank our sponsor, Mike Johnson and Compass Realty, for sponsoring the program this morning, and say that if you ever have any real estate needs, maybe you want to give them a shot. You know, we appreciate you, Mike. Thank you for being here. Also, I want to announce a few other things that are going on here. With the radio station, we have a new program that's coming up that I'm going to host on the first Thursday of every month, and it is called Art Walking, not just Art Walk, artwalking.org. And the station has come up to that would be nice to be able to have a voice behind the event that comes once a month. So at 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock, Leia Vasquez and I will host a monthly program that is all about art that's going on that Thursday. So if you're an artist and you have a new show at one of the galleries, or you're a gallery and you want to put out there what's going on at your gallery, we're going to try and talk about as many of the galleries as we can and support the community in as many ways as we can with events that are going on, not just on that Thursday, but art events, I guess, as a whole package. And hopefully the show will do well enough that we might even go extend it. We might do it every Thursday. So we'll see. But for now, the first one is on December. I think the first Thursday in December, we will be on the air with it. And that week is a very busy week because it's also the week that KX93 has their Christmas party. And that's at the Pageant of the Masters grounds. And we'll have Heart Entertaining and a bunch of other things going on. There's just go to the website. There's a whole slew of programs. And it is KX's annual Christmas party. We'd love to have you there. It's for art to support the station primarily, as we try to do as much as we can for the community. And we want to thank the sponsors that are sponsoring this event. There's some pretty heavyweight sponsors there. We appreciate you all. But right now, we're going to go back to another song here real quick, and I'm going to come back with some news, and then we'll get ready for our guests this morning. And I'm really looking forward to this. Thank you. If you were wondering, that was my way of waking everyone up because we have such a fantastic show today. That was Kungs versus Cookin' and Three Burners. Anyway, you're awake now. Yes. Say, I hope everyone had a fantastic Thanksgiving. I had one myself. Thank you, Lou and Bernie. And, but around this holiday season, sometimes you just want to be a couch potato and maybe get away from all the socializing. So I found on a list of the LGBTQ movies from 2018 that you can watch from your couch. So this is the top 15 movies that you can watch. I'm going to go through them real fast because there's 15 of them and give you a quick idea. But the first one they list is Duck Butter on Netflix. Duck Butter, like you butter your duck, I guess, you know. What happens if you live out an entire relationship in 24 hours? That's kind of the theme of Duck Butter. The next one is Alex Strangelove on Netflix. A nerdy guy losing his virginity, gets a twist in his popular Netflix flick, 80 Teens Angst, feel when a straight-A student, Alex, is more focused on Elliot. Ooh, okay, Alex and Elliot. And then Love, Simon, I've seen this. It's a wonderful feel-good movie. It's something you could watch with your parents if you're out and they're comfortable with it. It's not nasty. It's all about love and wonderful things. That's, again, Love, Simon. I'll post these on my website, Rainbow Radio, for everyone. Disobedience. This is Amazon Prime. Sebastian Leo, director of the Oscar winner of The Fantastic Woman, helms this sensual, thoughtful project that intersects female desire with Orthodox Judaism. That is called Disobedience, and that's Amazon Prime. The next one looks interesting. It's called McQueen, a documentary of a gay British fashion designer, Alexander McQueen, who died by suicide in 2010, explores the cost of creativity and brilliance. So there's a bit of everything. Next, quickly, is Scotty and the Secret History on Amazon. No surprise to most of the stars in Hollywood were not universally heterosexual, but there's still some amazing stories. So that's Scotty and the Secret History in Hollywood. There's Bex. This is on Amazon, a Tony winner from transformative turn as Yatzak and Hedwig and the Angry Inch opposite Neil Patrick Harris. So that sounds good. That's Bex on Amazon. And then there's Tully, T-U-L-L-Y, on Amazon. And features a bisexual lead character played by Oscar winner Charles Theron. We the Animals on Amazon. There's quite a few on Amazon. Amazon Prime has a lot of great movies, I found out. Based on the beloved queer novel by Justin Torres, We the Animals is a moving coming-of-age film that has been called this year's Moonlight. It centers on Jonah, who turns 10 in the film's onset, and his tumultuous journey to terms with his sexuality and masculinity. A Kid Like Jake, that's on Amazon as well. Maybe Amazon funded this. Anyway, it's Jim Parsons. Everyone knows who Jim Parsons. Claire Danes, what a great lineup. And Navigating Politics in New York City and a Private School, to toss it in. Then this one looks like an adventurous one. The Miseducation of Cameron Post, another Amazon. Out director Desiree Akhavan from Appropriate Behavior brings Emily Dansforth, beloved 2012 YA novel, to the big screen with this timely adaptation. Allure on Amazon. Westworld star Evan Rachel Wood turns in a heart-rending, terrifying performance as Laura, a young woman whose history of sexual abuse leads her to prey on a 16-year-old girl. Oh, wow. Okay. And then The Gospel According to Andre is another Amazon. Fashion icon Andre Leon Tully. All about him. And then there's another one here, almost. Hearts Beat Loud on Amazon. Kiersey Clemons and Sasha Lane offer up one of the sweetest, most grounded depictions of young love in this lovely indie from director Brett Haley. The relationship between Clemons, Sam, and her record store owner dad, Frank, who is Nick Offerman, as she preps to head to college. Act of Every Life, another Amazon pay, as Jeff Kaufman directs this documentary about the life and career of playwright Terrence McNally. And that's the top 15 that you can watch from your couch during the holidays when there's some free time and you want to some entertainment. You can have a marathon. And I'll put those on our page, rainbow-radio.com, later today when I get back to the office. So it's rainbow-radio.com. The top 15 movies as heard here on KX93.5, Laguna Beach's only FM radio. Again, we have some fabulous guests coming up here in just a minute. There should be calling in here shortly. I'm going to tell you real quickly who they are. We have filmmaker Billy Clift. He's a Hollywood native, started his career as a makeup and hair man. Oh, how many people have. Film, television, and music video industry. And then we have Emmy-nominated actor-producer David Milburn. First emerged as a child actor in such iconic commercials as McDonald's Glasses to Go, and was the smile behind the Sunday Smile campaign, among many others. There's a lot more to his history. We're going to discover more about both of these individuals, and this sounds like a wonderful documentary. I have not seen it. It's called The Advocate, The Long Road to Freedom, Advocate 50 Years. It's a publication that right now, what would be the equivalent? I don't know that there is. It's been around since the 60s and 70s. It has a long history of supporting the LGBTQ community. It's bi-monthly now. You can subscribe to it digitally, or you can subscribe to it to get it in your mailbox if you'd like, the old-fashioned way. Anyway, we'll be right back on the other side of Dinka in Venice Beach, and hopefully we'll be hearing from my two call-in guests. Thank you. We'll be right back. Hello. We are live here with David. Are you here? Are you there, David? Hey, we're here on KX 93 Radio. It is Saturday morning, and I have so few call-ins. I made a few missteps here, but we'll ignore that. I'll play if I only had a brain a little later, okay? I want to welcome this morning David Milburn. Is that how you say that right?
Burn. David Milburn, yes.
David Milburn. And David was I'm going to read your bio. I'd like to embarrass you a little bit. Then I'd
Craig, no. It's too early in the morning.
Well, I've been trying to wake people up for the last half hour, get them ready for you, you know? Besides, you didn't get to bed till 3 or 4, right?
I had too much turkey. Everyone has had too much turkey.
Oh, yeah, well, me too. But I will survive. It says you were a child actor in such iconic commercials as McDonald's Glasses to Go.
Yeah,
that's a while ago. Remember when
McDonald's would, you know, if you bought a soda, you'd also get a glass, and that was like a new invention at the time, right?
Yeah, did it have a plastic straw?
No. You drank right from the real glass.
Oh my goodness, that must have been a while ago. No. So then I see you've got an Oscar-winning Gods and Monsters, Mariel Hemingway's captor in her line of fire.
Yeah.
And you were involved in that?
Yes. It was shot down in New Zealand, and David Keith and I were at each other's throats, literally, over Mariel Hemingway.
Really?
Yeah, fun.
Okay, and then you include an accredited Christmas Fatal Reunion for a Lifetime Christmas Do-Over. I'll Remember April. I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus for ABC Family and Ice Spiders. Oh, my God. It just goes on and on. So what are you doing? What are you doing lately? Because that's all you're worth is what you're doing lately, right?
Well, you know, I mean, I've been working for Here TV, Here.TV, and just producing and writing and directing shows for them. And the documentary, obviously, is the one that's out there theatrically right now. But I do a show for them called Now What, which is the pillow talk that ensues after sex. I write and direct that show.
Now, wait, hold on, slow down.
I do another show for them called Underground, which is our travel show.
Slow down there. What was that? What conversation after sex thing? I want to go back to that.
Oh, it's the pillow talk that ensues after sex, you know,
okay.
And it's called Now What? Because if it's good sex, it's like, now what, you know? And if it's not so good sex, it's now what? What do I do now? You know, now what? We're just about to premiere in January our third season of that. On Here TV. It's a really sexy show. Another show I'm really proud of, funded, and Here TV just has a great incubator program. It's called Falling for Angels. And Falling for Angels are six half hours that expose the milieu of different couples throughout Los Angeles. There's an episode called Boyle Heights. There's an episode called Lemon Park. There's an episode called Silver Lake, Malibu, Koreatown. And then
what was your involvement with that then?
I produced all six, and then I wrote and directed the Bel Air episode starring Jason London and Alec Mappa.
You weren't just a PA. You were the producer.
Yeah. And then I also co-wrote and directed the Malibu episode along with Billy Clift.
You're living my dream, I hate to say.
Well, the fun convention with Falling for Angels is that in the Malibu episode, every one of the leads in the prior episodes converge on a wedding in Malibu. And we actually get to see how you can be in your own little communities here in Los Angeles, the City of Angels, but you can also all know and come together and be, friends at a common gathering.
Like it sounds like in Malibu. Shades of Sordid Lives.
Yeah.
Where everyone gets together in a common thing, but they're all very diverse.
Right. And in fact, Here TV took Sort of Lives out theatrically and made it a big hit. I mean,
wow.
They were working with that kind of set Leslie Jordan on the map, Sort of Lives.
Yeah, it did. Quite a history. Yeah. He wrote a book and flew on those shirt tails. Yeah. Well, he was great, but just kind of not brought to the forefront till then.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, one of the things that I know you've been doing lately is this documentary. Had you done documentaries before?
No, I have not. I've never done one before, and I'll probably never do one again. No, I'm kidding. No.
Well, hey, truthful.
No, this is such, this became
hey,
this.
Billy may be calling in. Can I?
Oh,
hold on, let me see what he's doing here. Billy, are you there?
Yes, this is Billy.
I guess I lost David now.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. Maybe David will call back. You're supposed to have multiple people on this line. I don't know what happened. Let's see if he calls back. Anyway, he was telling me that he just did the documentary of 50 years of The Advocate. But since I have you on, I think I'll try and embarrass you a little bit. You started your career as a makeup artist and it's been a bit of a journey, I suppose.
Oh yeah.
Anyone? I mean, did you do anyone we know?
Oh yes, yes. My favorite one, I must admit, and I tell people this because it was such an honor. I was Elizabeth Montgomery's hair and makeup artist from 1980 until she passed in 1995. Hello.
Hello.
It just stopped. It just left.
You know, apparently it will only allow me to have one caller on the line. They've never told me that. So
how dare they?
I thought I could have multiple. I'm not sure why.
Yeah, how strange.
Yeah. This is Billy. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'll hang with.
Right.
Hold on. Hell, it did it again. So we'll go. I apologize. We may have to have both of you back on the program when we figure out the being able to talk to multiple people that call in at the same time. Anyway, Billy, I was in the process of doing my best to embarrass you, and instead I'm embarrassing myself. I'm so sorry. So let's give you a little bit more. Let's get a little more information. Yeah. This last project that you're on, which I wanted to ask David as well too, but I didn't get the opportunity, is about the gay community with regards to The Advocate and that publication. So, I begs to ask: are you gay? Do you mind me asking?
Oh, yes, I am gay.
Okay, so that helped a bit with your insightfulness into this documentary.
I came out very young, about 15, which was, you know, a lot to do in that era.
Right.
And I even grew up here in Hollywood, and it was still, you know, quite a stigma. And even being a hair and makeup artist, I would still have that come at me.
Shocking.
even because we know Hollywood is, especially in the 70s and 80s, when I was a hair and makeup artist, 90s. Especially the 80s still wasn't, you know, accepted. And of course the AIDS epidemic didn't help at all. You know, as you see in the doc and as you know, in our history, we actually in the 70s were moving forward quite rapidly with acceptance. And due to AIDS, all of a sudden we were tossed into the gutter, of course.
Yeah. I certainly can attest to, there was a profound opening, I guess, a profound acknowledgement of the LGBT community and a profound, I think in the 60s there was free love, and so it became the 70s, and gay says, hey, we want some of that. We want to be part of that. And that's probably a good time to come out. My experience, I was 23. I came out in the early 70s, so you can do the math, but it wasn't something that I ever thought would be accepted. Certainly something I ever thought I would be doing, a radio show in a beach city
I love that.
And hosting it at, at this time in my life. So
I know, it's amazing how what occurs.
So I appreciate you.
Who's creative, right? You're obviously a creative human being, so you're constantly thinking and you're constantly projecting on what can I do? What would be exciting? You know, so you move forward.
Yeah.
Not everybody has that kind of, you know, that passion that we have.
Well, it's great to do something you're passionate about. I never thought, I mean, I got a job like at that, I guess that culture in that time of life was, you know, is go get a job, you know, and it wasn't about follow your passion. And I was fortunate, I went and got the job like you're supposed to, you know, and 30 years later, I'm finding something again that I'm passionate about, which is radio. But enough about me. So you came out at 15 and you've been part of the gay culture for all these years, and you probably grew up with The Advocate, in which this documentary, which David said he would never do again, jokingly. But this documentary, how you got involved in it.
I'm already on another documentary, so it's not my typical, but it was just another thing that hit me that I thought I should do. But I'm one of those kids, I think, 15, 16, 17, though, and there was this one place on Los Palmas right up Hollywood Boulevard, and it had, all those stacks and stacks of newspapers and magazines and along there, and I just remember,
Yes.
Billy?
I think we're both here.
This is modern technology at its best.
Does that mean I don't have to play if I only had a brain?
You play just for the heck of it.
I usually play it, you know, when I do something like this. So nice to have both of you present, you know? Something we work so brilliant thought. Brilliant technical resolve on your part, David.
Well, you know, three ways and, you know.
You mentioned that earlier.
They're a good thing.
So Billy and I were holding on to in our conversation was that he came out when he was 15 and that he is a homosexual.
Oh, my God. Really, yeah, I didn't know that.
Did you not know that?
No, David never knew that.
Oh,
this is a big reveal for me.
He just thought all those every time we were going to another city for some movie or something, and I'd take him to this bar. He thought, you know, just a lot of guys like to hang out together.
It didn't dawn on him at all.
I was in a fraternity. I know about that.
It's all very closeted and innuendo in a fraternity, but boy, are they gay. No. No, so did you come out, or are you gay, or are you straight? Do you mind if I ask?
Well, you know, I don't think I've ever had to come out, because I've always been authentic and who I am.
Ooh.
So the coming out process was just a growing process for me.
I think I had a psychologist on this last week, and she wrote a book, It's Never Too Late to Be Who You Are. And it sounds like both of you were who you are in the genuine sense of that. And I think that's wonderful. So many listeners out there, Dave and Billy, they're young and they're having issues that perhaps that we're not, well, in their community, in their cult, we're in their local culture, it's very taboo. And so when they listen to us talk and coming out at a young age and how we enjoy life and how things are important, it's a strong and powerful message to them that life is good and life can get better if they're struggling with those things. So I always like to shout out to them, you know, and say, there's a culture out here that's good, and it's working.
Craig, I think that Armistead Maupin, who's in our documentary, says it really well. He says, by being gay, you really have all these extraordinary powers and abilities that if you just accept them and run with them, it's going to pay off. And Amistad obviously is certainly a wonderful mentor, and the film is that type of mentorship to young people that you're talking about. It gives you all extraordinary kind of powers if you just accept your authenticity.
We just have to click our heels three times, and it's the world is ours.
Exactly.
It's all good.
That's one thing that we're hoping that this documentary actually does is, Billy has captured these people who we stand on their shoulders. These are the when you see the film, they're 80-year-olds who were there at the Black Cat raid, and they were there, and they were putting their whole lives on their lines, and then when they protested, they could lose their jobs, their families. But we captured these 80-year-olds in this film.
Wonderful.
And we stand on their shoulders, and now we must progress further to make sure that our rights are maintained and also are not rolled back as we find that they could be.
Well, one thing, something I would toss on top of that, I did see a documentary about three scholars in the education system in the UK. Long story short, they all were outed. Two of them, one committed suicide, one had a horrible early death. And the third one that survives is you've got to remember that at the time we were living our lives as young adults, we were told it was against the law, you could be thrown in jail. We were told by the church that it was an aberration and it was sinful and a horrible thing. And then we were, the third thing is that it was considered an illness. So you had all those things, whether you went to a doctor or you went to clergy or you went to your family, it was... And that really stuck with me. So I applaud you to having those 80-year-olds on this documentary and discuss the life that they've traveled, because it is pretty scary to think that you would not be accepted in anywhere in any sense of it, you know.
Or lawful, you know, in any sense.
Yeah.
I mean,
go to jail.
You could be walking down the street. You could be, of course, you know, all the bars back then, and I even remember them. Being raided. It was normal. I mean, the thing that happened in 1976, and you know, on New Year's Eve, 1967, was normal. It wasn't anything abstract to be raided. What was different about this particular instance at the Black Cat is that the police were brutal. And they had seven undercover cops in the bar waiting for that kiss at New Year's Eve.
Oh, my.
And they were brutal. They beat them. And they ended up in the hospital. And I think that's what...
I'm glad you talked about the Black Cat, because it's so often we refer to Stonewall, right?
Well, yeah, yes. And the Black Cat predated Stonewall by 2 years. And this is one of the messages of the film is that, you know, it's time for the Black Cat to get its...
Right.
Cred, you know, really starting an LGBTQ movement
something
way
else
before.
I really don't like is that we call our Pride Festival Christopher Street West.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's wrong with it? L.A. Pride, you know? Why would we be like we're trying to imitate Christopher Street? We're different. And Christopher Street's wonderful, but we've got our own DNA.
Exactly.
And
it did come out of, you know, I mean, it's in the doc, is that the parade did come from Stonewall. It was they wanted to commemorate Stonewall and so they communicated with their brothers here in Los Angeles. That is how it happened. So it was to be that 1 year later.
Oh.
And back to the doc and that night, Billy in this film has recreated wonderful found footage and also has found footage of that evening. And, you know, the kisses, it was New Year's Eve, so the kisses were a little longer than 3 to 4 seconds, which was the norm.
Oh.
It was New Year's Eve. And that's when the cops pounced. And that literally set off the ability for folks to coalesce, to do the silent protest, and that's where the Advocate was founded.
Wow. So and that was what year?
1967.
If you're just tuning in, I have two guests here. I have Billy Clift and I have David Milburn, and they both worked together to produce a documentary about the 50 years of The Advocate publication, which we just stated was founded in 67, right?
Yes.
Yes, it's 67. And we're celebrating 50 years. What brought you two together to say, oh, hey, we're going to do a documentary on The Advocate? Sounds cool. Was there an aha moment?
Oh, it's a sordid tale, Chris.
Oh, no. I do want to know.
It actually started with, after the election for myself. And that was, what can I do? What can I do? And I always felt that being a filmmaker, of course, that just seemed the most logical thing that I could do to state what's going on inside myself and what has gone inside all of us as a gay LGBTQ plus community. And that is to know our history.
Okay.
And no one and I live right around the corner from the Black Cat. And I'd had heard about it, and then I kind of ran into this person who really knew about it and was just very frustrated that nobody had ever heard about it.
Speaking of not hearing about it, I think there's a lot of listeners that still haven't heard about the Black Cat. And to explain what it is, it was one of the first brutal event with the gay community in L.A. that predated Stonewall. And
exactly.
And it predicated the publication, The Advocate, and it also gave cause for Stonewall to respond as they did, correct?
Exactly.
Yep. Yeah.
It was like more of that fuel, because all the main people, you know, the ones that were really out there trying to change things, all knew each other. The ones in Los Angeles, okay, San Francisco, and New York, they all knew each other, because it was a small, small group. And they're in this documentary.
So
David Mixner to Cleve Jones Ivy Boutini
it's a smorgasbord of gay culture and gay icons.
Exactly. And we were fortunate to get them before they were to expire, to say a word.
Yeah. Obviously didn't get Harvey Milk, but there's probably some information about Harvey Milk.
Oh, we have his last words, yep. You know, and
wow.
And in the process of, we were so fortunate that Here TV opened up their checkbook and got behind this idea and said, are going to fund this momentous kind of film that we see real value in capturing all this history. And then The Advocate obviously was a natural framework, because The Advocate is the only media that was there from the beginning right to today.
Well, I remember, is it XY Magazine was around for a while, and then Drummer and Honcho, but they were, none of them were political. They were all like the fluff, you know,
Yeah, they were titillating.
Yeah.
But The Advocate kept the pink pages for a long time, and we go into that
true.
In the doc.
I remember that now, the pink pages, yeah.
And of course,
that it was classified ads for hookup. It's kind of like Grindr was back in the preceded Grindr.
But then, Craig, this thing, like we said earlier, it was just snowballed. I mean, Bob Greenblatt, the then chairman of NBC, called us and said, "I hear you're doing this documentary. I want to be a part of it." So we filmed him on the new old set of Will and Grace. Laverne Cox came in as our narrator. Melissa Etheridge gave us a song called Uprising of Love with the Los Angeles Gay Men's Chorus. People just came on board, and that was very thrilling, and it let us know that we were doing something really important. And when we had the premiere at the Motion Picture Academy this summer, we got nationwide distribution the next day, and I remember Gloria Allred was there, who's also in the film.
Oh,
she
yeah.
was in tears. She was literally crying because
Gloria?
She said that we. Yeah, because we go into women's empowerment, the trans movement, Black Lives Matters. Delray McClesson's in it. You know, we have to remember that gay, straight, black, white, same struggle, same fight.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
And Dustin Lance Black says this very beautifully in the film as well, that we have to show up for these other marginalized communities because that is politically.
Who is not in this documentary?
Well. Okay. Gavin Newsom, our new governor, is in it.
Oh,
you know?
Good. Okay. Yeah. I think that's why I actually walked up to him in the Pride Parade and shook his hand and thanked him for what he's doing fairly
Wonderful.
Recently. Yeah, that was fun. So you had an aha moment. Your aha moment was just kind of a progressive step of conversations that led you to think, to feel after. And I think it's interesting that you say, I think David, you said it, the election. without assuming we would know what that is. Because,
well, and also too, Billy and I have collaborated. We mentioned Falling for Angels. Billy wrote and directed an episode of Falling for Angels, Silver Lake, and then we co-directed and wrote Malibu. But we had also, Billy had a wonderful film that I produced and was one of the male leads in, Hush Up, Sweet Charlotte. So I knew with Billy, we were in good hands with his style and his expertise and his passion for this type of product. And Billy, we couldn't be more pleased with what we created, would you say?
Wow.
I actually don't 100% realize, and that it's almost like that wasn't me that did that. And I watch it and I go, wow, where did that come from? You know, and just every project that I take on, I see the picture before I make it. Mm-hmm. And that is a big deal on if I can see it, then I can do it. And I can't see the whole project throughout. And I imagine, you know, it's that manifesting, I guess, that of seeing it. And it came out better than I imagined.
Wow.
And I just feel so honored. I feel so honored that Here TV was there. I feel so, it was just everything that David was there. And David and I get along so well that it's a pleasure and it's easy to create. Because, you know, as a filmmaker, I always need another brilliant mind to sit there and go, well, what about this? What about that? and to constantly push myself to think in a different perspective and on and on.
Must have been from both your hearts because you're still good friends, apparently.
Oh, and we'll work together again. I look forward to it. But what Billy created and what this film really does is there's a stream of consciousness. It's as if one person is telling you, Craig, sit down here. I want to tell you about 50 years of the LGBTQ movement. And it seems like it's one person, although there are you know, 29 different people telling the story. It's like your great gay uncle who never sat you down and said, let me tell you our history and what it means to you. Because you now have the torch. You now have the opportunity to carry this movement forward. And that third act of the documentary is a call to action. It is, like Billy said, you know, he was motivated by the results of the election. It's a call to action for our young people to go out there and carry this torch onward.
So if I'm just tuning in, I'm thinking this sounds like something that I really, really need or should see, need to see. How can you view it? Is it just exclusively now on Here?
No. It's not on Here yet. It is in selected theaters throughout the country currently. And then January 1st, it goes on to platforms and VOD on all the streaming services where you can purchase it on VOD.
It's just Here helped fund it and get it going is what they did.
Right, but then it'll eventually be for free on Here TV, Here.tv, April 1st.
So it's going to be on. It's really going to be in mainstream theaters soon.
It is currently. January 1st.
Oh, okay.
And then it goes on the in the on demand sections of.
So did you hear that out there, folks? If you're listening, you can go watch the documentary now. How long is it about?
It's just under two hours.
Well, that's a lot.
Which was very hard to do, but we couldn't. We just wanted to make sure nobody got bored. And thank goodness, every time we've sat with a group of people, you don't feel that moment in the film when people are, you know, twisting around or going, oh, my God, I got to get out. Oh, my God, I got to get out of here.
People in our community are riveted, and then when we've gone to festivals and we've won a couple of audience favorite awards for we've been opening night of festivals, even straight couples come up to us and say, I kind of knew about this movement, but I didn't really know about it, and thank you for telling the story. We had two 19-year-old young straight females. They attended the premiere, and they grabbed hands and walked out together into the party afterwards, saying there was so much love in the room that we just wanted to be a part of it.
Wow.
And these were straight 19-year-olds. So there's a really there's a beautiful crossover for this film.
You know, I have a neighbor, Donna, and she's my age, and there's a lot of straight people that are older that have been so much on the sidelines that they don't understand this culture either. And I've had, and from that experience, I'm sure it's a movie for them as well.
Definitely.
You know, maybe they have a nephew or a grandson or someone who they want to have a better understanding to help their relationship with that person. This is something that would be valuable for them to see. Yeah. Is that fair to say?
Oh, totally. And I just think of just a human being who should know about the people on this planet and the different aspects of who we live with and why we shouldn't fear it.
Yeah.
You know, so that is definitely one of a very crucial part of why I wanted to make it, so that someone could sit down who had no idea of who we are or where we came from. And it would show a very different perspective than a bunch of hot guys with their clothes off dancing in a parade, you know? And so, I'm not negating that. That's part of who we are.
No, it's all part of the culture, yeah.
It's all part of the culture.
Fortunately, that creates the stereotypes that are out there.
You guys are absolutely right. That's what we show. That's what we see on the 6 o'clock news, the local news, is, oh, the gay pride parade, yeah. You know, and you see the drag queens, and you see that fun and pridefulness, but you don't see the real story or the whole story.
We're your barbers, we're your dentists, we're your doctors, we're your cab drivers, we're everything. And
we're part of your world.
Yeah.
And it's not going away. So.
And I laugh when some adult that's my age and they say, oh, I don't really know any gays. Oh, but dear, you do. It just never clicked. That's what I think, you know.
And yeah, you weren't paying attention.
I took one of my neighbors to the gay beach here in Laguna, which is still very popular and much part of the culture. And she goes, oh, my word, I had no idea. Does this go on all the time? And I just, you know, just like your components that you spoke of earlier, I think, David, Silver Lake is a bit different than, the Valley, and the cultures between all of those locations are very different, and put them all together in one environment and interview them, which I think was one of the movies that you had done, right, David?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Falling for Angels. Yes.
Falling for Angels,
series.
Yeah. And I think that's interesting that we can all live so closely together yet not be aware of so many different cultures in our midst.
Well, speaking of Laguna, we have Fred Karger in the doc, who was the first openly gay Republican presidential candidate.
Yes, did you have the gay mayor we had here?
No, but we did have another Republican, Caitlyn Jenner, does a wonderful interview with Billy that I've never seen her be so open and tearful in telling her story.
She has changed her position a bit lately.
Yes.
She was actually
probably because of you guys.
When I spoke to her, that was during the summer. She was weary. I didn't show that, you know, and that was more like we were just talking, and I didn't record that part. But she was talking about how she was worried, and she just talked about how that she was. She's one of those, you know. She says, "I'm almost 70 years old." I said, "From my world and the way I've been trained, is you vote party line."
Yeah.
End of story. And then you sit there and go, oh, my God, what did you do? And that's what she was doing even then, is she was questioning. But she did hope at the time that she could assist in managing him to stay a little more open. And we have seen, of course, something obvious. So that's when she truly came out, when he really came out at her and the people who are of the same ilk.
Yeah.
You know, Cher is also in the documentary, and she tells a story.
Like I said, who isn't? Go on, I'm sorry.
Yeah, she tells a wonderful story about chastity becoming Chaz. And, you know, we have this major, major superstar telling this very personal, private, family situation where, she called Chastity's phone answering machine, and she heard Chastity's voice on the outgoing message, and she said, oh, my God, this may be the last time I hear my daughter's voice, because my daughter is now my son.
Oh, wow.
Chaz. And it's really wonderful that the people throughout this documentary, both the boots on the ground and the celebs and the gay people that have aligned with us, be emotional and true and authentic to telling their part of the story.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the real gold of what we've created.
Okay. You know, I have actually run overtime. I'm here. We're 3 minutes into the next program on my people. And I'm running on their good graces. I could go on for days and days, but the movie, everyone should see it. They should go to, where can you view the trailer? Is it available just on the movie
on
channel?
YouTube, you could find it if you put in the name easily, but I think that's the easiest, isn't it?
Yeah, A Long Road to Freedom, The Advocate celebrates 50 years. You can go to here.tv and see small snippets of all the wonderful filming.
Okay.
And look for it on the on-demand section come January, and then on here.tv come April 1st.
Okay. All right. I've been here with my two fabulous guests this morning, filmmaker Billy Clift and producer David Milburn. And I want to thank you both, and thank you for your patience, and thank you, David, or whoever it was that figured out how to get us all on the...
Thank you, Craig.
I want to meet you two. I next time up in LA, hopefully I can meet you two. That would be fabulous.
Maybe on that gay beach, we'll come down.
Okay,
there.
we'll have a party on the beach. But when it is released on here, we'll have a here release party. How's that?
We'll look forward to that.
Thank you for being here this morning. Ida May is here, and this is KX93.5 Laguna Beach's only FM radio in Laguna Beach. Thank you for listening on Rainbow Radio. I'm turning it over, right? Cold start, slam dunk, as they say in the business, to Ida May.